Welcome to the Procurement Software Podcast, where we aim to educate and inspire you about how technology is changing and shaping our profession. The truth is, there's never been a more exciting time to be in procurement, but only if you're one of those organizations that's embracing the change and driving new developments. And this podcast is all about giving you the tools to help you get there. So buckle up and let's get right into this week's show. Hey there, ProcureTech fanboys and fangirls. Welcome back to the show. This week, we're going to be looking at what would my dream procurement team look like? What would I put in place if I wanted to combine the very best of human and machine to have one ultimate ass-kicking procurement team? So I'm going to use a very simple example with round numbers to try and explain this as best as I can on audio. It's a lot easier if I had visuals to do this. But I'm going to give it a try because I think it's really important just to get your mind thinking and your creativity flowing in terms of what could you do with existing resources, wage bill, headcount, while bringing some tech into the mix as well. Because one of the things that I think we've got to be mindful of and we've got to be realistic about is that we're probably not going to get additional budget, right? It's notoriously hard for procurement to get any additional budget for anything. So with this assumption, I'm taking the current salary bill that I would theoretically be paying my procurement team, and I'm going to be exploring how can we deliver a mix of human and tech for that exact same total amount. So let's start off by assuming that I'm a head of procurement. I've just gone into a greenfield role at a mid-market business. They have a procurement team of 10 category managers. Each of those category managers earns $100,000 gross per year, which gives me a $1 million salary bill. Now, yes, I'm taking round numbers here, and I know that in different markets, procurement salaries and wages are potentially higher or most probably lower than this. Take whatever number you want to put in this space and work with that if you want to do your own calculations. But for this, I'm just going to use round numbers to keep it simple. Let's assume for this purpose that this is the total wage bill. Now, I know that in reality, this isn't the case because in most countries, employers have to pay health insurance and employers' social security contributions to their employees, especially if we're talking in developed economies. But like I say, we're keeping things simple just for the purpose of enabling us to stay on track without any visual aids here. So what would I do differently? How would I take this category management team of 10, each on 100K a year, and how would I spend that $1 million budget differently? Well, first of all, I think we need to tackle the problem head on that there's a lot of waste often in how the typical category manager spends his or her day. And what do I mean by that? Well, typically between a third to half of a category manager's time is spent on non-value added activities. So to get them working more efficiently, and let's not forget, they're still going to be the backbone of the team, right? We're not going to get rid of category managers. We need to offload a lot of the stuff that they shouldn't really be doing on that salary and with their experience. These are knowledge workers. They're highly qualified, very effective team members that can deliver a lot of value if you can just free up a lot of their time and eliminate a lot of the noise that they get dragged into every single day. So how do you do this? Well, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to reduce the number of category managers from 10 down to 5. Let's assume that they maintain the same salary. So they're going to continue earning 100K. You could, of course, make the argument that if you pay them a little bit more, you're going to get better people. I fully accept that you have to compensate people adequately to get the A players in your team. But for this example, and to keep things simple, I'm going to assume that they maintain their 100K salary. So I'm going to have 5 category managers paid 100K. So that's $500,000. So that's half of my $1 million wage bill or total budget. Right. So how am I going to spend the other half? instead of category managers, I'm going to have one procurement business partner. Now, procurement business partner is, if I get a pretty senior person, they're probably going to be on roughly the same salary as a category manager. These are going to have to be very good communicators. They're going to be very good at stakeholder management. They're going to be very good at navigating office politics and different areas, different business units around the company. So I'm going to need a pretty well-qualified and an experienced person to take this role. So I'm going to assume that this person is going to earn the same salary as my five category managers with 100K. So five category managers, one procurement business partner, 600K spent so far. Good. Okay, so now let's move a little bit away from procurement roles and how else am I going to staff my team? So I'm going to have one data scientist because data is the new gold. Now, if anyone's used Amazon, Amazon's not really an e-commerce company. They're a data company. Tinder is not really a dating app. It's a data company. Airbnb is not really an accommodation website. It's a data company. So if you want to be playing with the best, you need a data scientist in your procurement team. And data scientists aren't cheap. So I'm going to assume here that the data scientist is going to cost me 150K. So 50K more than the category manager and the category managers and the procurement business partners. So now I've spent 750K of my budget. I've got five category managers, one procurement business partner, and one data scientist. So what next? Well, I'm going to need an analyst because if I'm going to be taking work away from category managers, then I need more of a maths and a statistics and an Excel-y type person that can really analyze that data for some of the stuff that doesn't necessarily need a data scientist with Python programming capability, but the good does need a good, solid, full stack Excel, someone that knows formulas and all of the different ways to present and structure and slice and dice data within Microsoft Excel or any other spreadsheets app for that matter. A data analyst typically is probably not going to cost as much as a procurement category manager. So I've assumed that this data analyst would cost 75K. So we've already got now a procurement business partner, a data scientist and an analyst on my team, which are going to be doing a lot of the grunt work that category managers typically should not be involved in. And I've now spent $825,000 of my $1 million budget. Five category managers, one procurement business partner, one data scientist, and one analyst. So what next? Well, we've still not touched on the fact that there's an awful lot of admin work that category managers get bogged down in. And well, I don't really want my data scientist, my procurement business partner, or indeed my analyst to be doing a lot of that work. Inevitably, some of the work that those three are doing is going to take away a lot of the administration because processes are going to be automated, programs, scripts are going to be written, data is going to be crunched, which means that it's less necessary for procurement category managers to be doing firefighting and fiddling around, scratching around, trying to get their hands on the right data. But nonetheless, there is still a lot of grunt work and day-to-day admin that procurement category managers get dragged into. So my last employee is going to be an admin assistant, and that admin assistant is also going to have some experience on with internal comms and content marketing. Why? Because, like it or not, if we work in procurement, at least from an internal stakeholder management perspective, hate to break it to you, ladies and gentlemen, but we also work in sales. Explaining what procurement does and the value that we drive to the wider business is a sales function. And to have that admin assistant with a big focus on producing content and communicating that to the wider business, I think is going to be a real game changer and is really going to move the needle and drive that added value of really helping the organization understand what do we do other than negotiate cost savings and finalize contracts. That admin assistant, I have assumed, would get paid 50K. And that may seem a little bit low if they're also going to be a bit of a whiz when it comes to content marketing. But I've assumed here that I also have a global pool of people available to me for me to hire into this role, because this is typically a role that can be done remotely, right? I mean, you don't need someone sat in an office doing an admin assistant or a more content outbound marketing internal comms focused role. You can hire someone anywhere in the world that can do that role. And as long as they're strong communicators and probably a native speaker of the language that you're operating in, doesn't really matter where they sit. So I stand by the fact that I could get someone for that budget. So that's $875,000 of my $1 million budget spent. And I have 9 employees within that mix, 5 category managers, a procurement business partner, a data scientist, an analyst, and an admin assistant. That's 9 in total, whereas previously I had 10. So I'm now saying that I'm cutting the team from 10 down to 9, but we've got a much more interesting mix in there to get a more productive set of work and tasks done with a little bit less resource. How am I going to augment this resource to be able to compensate for the one head that is missing from my previous team? Well, I'm going to invest in some tech, pretty unsurprisingly, given the name of the podcast and why you're listening to this. So the remaining 125K that I'm going to allocate is going to be on procurement technology. Now, you could spend this in a whole range of ways. And you know, I'm not going to speculate what I would spend it on here, although I would say probably the first thing that I would do would be to get some spend analytics in place. And then the second thing that I would look at, you know, let's get the basics right first, would be cleaning the data and having some P2P software in place so as we can automate and enable stakeholders to self-serve with a lot of their day-to-day requirements and tail-end spend. Because if we can remove, looking at the whole 80-20 principle, if we can remove a lot of the noise that category managers are getting dragged into, along with these other roles that I've got in my team now, I'm enabling them to focus on a lot more strategic work. So I think my personal preference is I would do spend analytics and I would do P2P first. And then I would perhaps look at some of the more advanced sourcing, advanced technology that's out there, perhaps something more towards sourcing or contract management as a next step. What could your budget actually buy in terms of what those different applications do? Well, I'm going to leave this one on a bit of a cliffhanger, and we're going to tackle that topic in next week's episode. And next week's episode, we're going to drill down into what can different types of budgets buy you for different type of procurement tech applications. We'll take a budget that's more geared towards SMEs. We'll take a more typical mid-market software budget, and then we'll also look at what can an enterprise budget get you. So if you're curious to know what that could buy, don't forget to tune in next week and we will tackle that then. Until that time, take care wherever you are. Thank you again for listening. Please do give us a review on Apple Podcasts or go to LinkedIn and like the Procurement Software LinkedIn page. It does help us to reach more people and get more awareness out there of the podcast and the other content that we produce. So big thumbs up if you're able to do that. Thanks again. Catch you again next week, and bye for now.